There has to be a substitute that's laid upon the altar. And as that substitute is laid upon the altar, who is spotless and clean, Noah takes these birds, he takes these animals, and he cuts the throats, and he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He offers those sacrifices on that altar. And he looks to God and he says, God, I am in a situation today that is beyond my abilities. I don't know how I'm going to direct the future. But what I do know is I can tap into your divine wisdom because you are my God. And I'm walking with you. And so there's Noah. He's offering sacrifices on the altar. And he says, God, you are the most important thing in my life. You are what I want. And the question that you and I have to ask ourselves is, where is the altars in our lives? Are we seeking the face of God and saying, God, I need you. I know that even though I face tomorrow, even though I face this challenge in my life, whether it's a health concern, whether it's a relational concern, whether it's some other concern, an addiction concern, I need you. And my altar is here because I know that if I try to live my life without you, it's going to be a violent, wicked mess. But I want my life to be lived with you. Charles Spurgeon comments about this particular text, and he says, I love the logic of God. And he says, in chapter 6, God says, all this wickedness, all this violence on the earth, he says, I'm going to bring judgment, there's going to be a flood. Chapter 8, God says, every inclination of the human heart is evil all the time since childhood, it says in our text. The human nature from chapter 6 to chapter 8 didn't change. And so the question is, God, why did you respond here with judgment? And why are you responding in chapter 8 with saying that I will never destroy the world again with a flood? And Charles Spurgeon says, it's because of one thing. It's because there was an altar there. And God was willing to say, I am never going to destroy the earth again with a flood because of a sacrifice that's made, because there's this connection that I can have with humanity that wasn't taking place in chapter 6, but in chapter 8 it was. And so as we think about the world in which we live, all the messes that are going on, that we can live and face tomorrow because we serve a Redeemer who lives. And as we think about our Redeemer who lives, we have to ask ourselves those questions. Yes, our world is upside down. Yes, God provides that safe place. And if we could go to the next slide. Yes, God provides safe places for us. But where is the altars in our lives? Is God really important that we seek his face? And it's wonderful that we gather together. But as we gather together, God makes a promise to us. And he says, I will never destroy the world again with a flood. And the beautiful thing is that he provided a lamb for us. And the lamb that he has provided for us was his son. And so we're not cutting the throats of clean animals today and burning them on altars. And I don't know about you, if you ever smelt a burning animal before, it doesn't smell really nice. But what we hear in our text this morning is that God said it was a pleasing aroma. And why? It was pleasing because God says, I can connect with humans again. Because it's equally a problem for us as humans to connect with God, but God also loves us and says, I want to connect with you. And so as God loves us, he says, he sent his son into this world so that we could reconnect. He's the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what do we hear in 2 Corinthians? It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us so we might experience the righteousness of God. And so my friends, as we think about the basics, church is important. The altar is important. But most importantly, in the business world, we say it's not always what you know, it's who you know. And the important thing here is, God, we want to know you, and we want to seek your face, whether it's in prayer, whether it's through scripture, or whether it's in discussion with each other. And God reveals himself to us, and we experience him in great and unsearchable ways that we desperately want and need. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and we think about the situation that was in Noah's day, and we know that even today, we're experiencing the same sort of disaster. Human nature continues to be a mess. But we also know that in our mess, that you sent your Son to bring redemption, to bring salvation, to bring hope. And so we can face tomorrow, not in a place of fear and trepidation, but in a place of celebration, because you are the judge of all the earth. And will you not do right? And so, Lord, we look forward to the day where you will make all things new, that you will fix what is broken. But also we celebrate the fact that when you were here, Lord Jesus, what did you do? You gave sight to the blind. You healed those who were broken, even with a bleeding and different bleeding that was taking place. You provided sight to the blind, but you also raised those who were dead, giving us a taste of your kingdom. And so, Lord Jesus, we long for you, and we long for more of you in our land and in the world in which we live today. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.